This is Henry Simon bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. The Colgate Show, address unknown, is brought to you by the makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Colgate Toothbrushes, Colgate Shampoo, Colgate Beauty Soap, Colgate Hairspray, and Colgate Talc.
In one moment, the search for Charles Denton. Address unknown.
Here again is Henry Simon.
In times of war and international unrest, there are obviously a great number of disappearances and unaccounted for deaths. In such times, too, even though Britain herself may not be directly involved in the conflict in question, a large number of British subjects find themselves caught up in the action. When this happens, it's not unnatural for the Missing Persons Bureau to play a part in attempting to solve one or more of the disappearance mysteries. I remember at the time of the French troubles with Algeria, we had a caller to the bureau, a most attractive young lady named Lillian Wentworth. She came directly to the point of her visit.
My fiancé, Mr. Simon, Charles Denton, he seems to be missing. I've tried the police, even checked all the hospitals and nursing homes I could think of. There isn't any trace of him. I'm coming to you almost as a last resort.
Well, a great many people do, Miss Wentworth. We have a surprisingly successful record in locating missing persons. Now, let's have some details, please. Your fiancé's age, physical description.
Charles is 31. He's about 5'10". And average weight, what would that be, about 150?
That's close enough. Colouring?
Dark brown hair, almost black, really. Blue eyes, rather dark complexion, very suntanned. Charles spends quite a lot of time on the Riviera and mooning around the Mediterranean on his yacht.
Oh, he's wealthy, then?
Well, rather comfortably well off, I'd say. Not rich in the usual sense. But he never seems to want for ready cash.
I see. And his occupation?
He's a writer.
Oh, I wondered why the name rang a bell. He writes those Secret Service agent books, doesn't he? What's his name? Greg something?
Greg Carson.
Yes,
that's the one. Charles says it brings him in quite a lot of money. I know he's published mainly in paperbacks, but there does seem to be quite a market for thrillers like that.
There must be, yes. Just about every bookstore or station newsstand displays dozens of books of that type. You say he moons around the Mediterranean quite a lot. Just how much would that be?
Oh, for weeks, sometimes even months at a time. He does most of his writing on his yacht. He says you can't find peace like that in any other way. He's probably quite right. The times I've been aboard Lady Susan have been wonderful. Nobody to bother you, just the sea and the ports of call when you feel like company. I wish I could live like that all the time.
I should think all the time would become a bit much, Miss Wentworth. Times like that take on an added flavor when they're not overindulged in, if you'll pardon the split infinitive.
You could very well be right, Mr. Simon.
Now, back to your fiancé. If, as you say, he's always away for weeks or even months at a time, how can you be sure that he's missing? Couldn't this just be one of those extended periods?
No. No, Charles has a thing about keeping appointments and never being late. He was supposed to have seen his agent and his publisher 2 days ago, right here in London. But he simply never turned up.
Their names?
Desmond Wright is the publisher. Trigon Books. You've heard of them?
Yes, indeed. The Three Triangles trademark.
Yes, that's the one. And Malcolm Bennett, his agent. He only handles a dozen or so clients, but that seems to be the way he prefers it. Needless to say, that dozen comprises only best-selling authors.
I see. Now, exactly when last did you see your fiancé?
It was Thursday of last week. He said he'd only be away for 3 or 4 days, but now it's a full week. There's no sign of Charles.
Do you know where he went?
Yes, he went to Paris. He stayed in his flat there. Number 14, Rue Pitié in Montmartre.
14, Rue Pitié, Montmartre. Good. You're sure of that, Miss Wentworth? Sure that he did go to Paris?
Yes, quite sure. He telephoned me on Thursday night and again on the Friday.
Excellent. And his address here in London?
27 Maxton House, Dawes Avenue, Kensington. Oh, that's his home base, really. It's a lovely flat.
Hmm. Now, is there anyone there at the moment?
I shouldn't think so. He has a woman who comes in every morning to do the cleaning chores and dusting. Sometimes she cooks for him, too.
And her name?
Mrs. Crepple.
Crepple. She's not there this afternoon, then?
No, she always leaves at about 1 o'clock.
Pity. You wouldn't happen to have a key to the flat, would you?
Yes, yes, I do have. Charles gave me one some months ago. But why should you need one, Mr. Simon?
Well, the agent I'll assign to the case will probably like to have a look round there. It'd be easier, and I'm sure a lot more comforting to your peace of mind, if you were there when he did so.
Oh, I see. Yes, well, that would be fine. Is there anything else, Mr. Simon?
Not that I can think of at the moment. If you just leave me your address and telephone number, I think that'll take care of everything. Oh, and I shouldn't worry too much about all this, Miss Wentworth. In most cases involving missing persons, there's usually a very banal and innocuous explanation.
You said in most cases, Mr. Simon. That's what's worrying me. Perhaps Charles is one of those that isn't.
I wasn't unduly worried about Charles Denton's disappearance. Despite Lillian Wentworth's assurance that he was one of that rare breed of personalities who are never late for an appointment, the fact that Denton was a writer seemed to cancel out the virtues, in my mind at any rate. As a whole, writers are not the most dependable of people, and this could well have been an occasion when Denton decided to stay away on his own instead of returning to London for the appointment with his agent and publisher. I said as much to Agent Luke Parker when I briefed him on the assignment. Parker grinned and blew smoke up at the ceiling.
Don't look now, Chief, but you're being kind of bigoted.
Bigoted? Me?
Sure.
In what way, may I ask?
Maligning the whole race of writers on account of maybe you happen to have met up with a couple who weren't all that much on the responsible side. What happens? To shove the whole mass of them into the same category? Oh, why, Chief, some of my best friends are writers.
How enlightening. Nonetheless, Parker, we shall take Miss Wentworth's belief in her fiancé's dependability with just a pinch or two of salt. I think it might be an idea if we went round to Denton's agent this afternoon, found out what he thinks of his client's passion for punctuality. It may turn out that Lillian Wentworth has a rose-colored view of her fiancé.
Sure, will do. Got his address?
It's in the phone book.
Thanks.
If you get no joy there, you might try his publisher. Then, if necessary, Miss Wentworth will let you into Denton's flat. But save that until you have to, Parker. She seems to be the type that protects individual privacy with a passion that borders on the overpowering. When I suggested that you may want to look around Denton's flat, her eyebrows nearly hit the ceiling with disapproval.
Okay, message received and understood. Handle the lady with kid gloves, right?
It may pay you to do so, yes.
Anything else, Chief?
It's now 2:14. You have a busy afternoon ahead of you, Parker. I suggest that you get weaving. Parker telephoned Denton's agent, Malcolm Bennett, and arranged to call round at his office within the hour. When Parker arrived, he found a smoothly running machine that digested authors' words and then regurgitated them in the direction of the most profitable publisher. The office was neat, modern, and functional, and Parker was shown directly into Malcolm Bennett's private sanctuary. Bennett himself was smooth, affable, but for some reason best known to Parker, he irritated. There was a measure of pompousness to the man that had no trouble in making Parker's hackles rise.
Charles, of course, is one of our middleweight writers, you know. Churns out the words like sausages, and most of the time they don't need much in the way of revision or polishing. Mainly paperback sales for Greg Carson, usual market stuff. Not one of the really best-selling chappies we have in the stable, but better than the bottom-rung fellows. The sort that write one good book for every five or six, no better than mediocre. Dependable, yes, on the whole, I'd say he was.
Then the fact that he didn't show up for your appointment was out of character for him.
Well, yes, yes, to a degree. Nothing to worry about.
Why not?
Well, you don't know Ryder's, old man. A week in Paris could lead to a month, even a couple of months on the tear.
Uh-huh. You know, something's been puzzling me. I've read a couple of Greg Carson's books. They're pretty good. But the bit I don't get is how come the author knows so much about the insides of the Secret Service and about the other side of things, the gun running and the underworld bit. It's almost as though the writing was being done from personal experience. Any truth in that?
Personal experience? Oh, you mean was Charles ever mixed up in the intelligence outfit himself?
Well, something like that.
Perish the thought, old man. Nothing more than a lively imagination, that's all.
You're sure of that?
Oh, positive, old man. Absolutely positive.
Parker tried without success to get hold of Denton's publisher, Desmond Wright, and the trail had abruptly worn a trifle thin. He decided to take a look round Denton's flat, and accordingly contacted Lillian Wentworth and arranged to meet her at Maxon House at 5:30. She arrived on time and unlocked the front door.
Go ahead, Mr. Parker. Although I must admit I failed to see the point of your snooping around here.
Snooping? Oh, I wouldn't call it that, Miss Wentworth. Just seeing if maybe we can find something to lead us to the missing person. And that's what you want, ain't it?
But of course that's what I want. What an absurd question to ask.
Just checking, ma'am. Just checking. Man's got to get his facts right, and that's a fact.
Well, what particularly did you want to see?
Don't know for certain, ma'am. Maybe I'll just mosey around and see where my nose leads me. Real nice-looking pad the man's got. Expensive.
I told Mr. Simon that Charles doesn't generally want for money.
Looks like it. Those paintings must have cost a pretty penny. And real high-class Persian carpets. Good taste the man's got. Particularly in his choice of women, ma'am. And that's meant as a compliment in case you weren't too sure.
I'm sorry, Mr. Parker. You just caught me on the wrong foot. I'm not usually the snappish and ill-tempered with people I've only just met.
No offense, ma'am. No offense. Hey, quite a stack of mail over on this table. This where it's usually left by the cleaning woman?
Yes. Mrs. Kreppel is a very methodical woman. If the mail were left anywhere except where it should be, she'd feel it some sort of sacrilege has been committed.
Yeah. Man gets mail from all over the world. Must do a lot of letter writing himself to get replies like this. Mr. Charles Denton, Esquire, Hong Kong, Melbourne, Cape Town.
He uses a secretarial service when he needs that sort of thing. Just dictates replies. Doesn't bother about sitting down and writing anything involved.
Hey, this is kind of funny.
Well, what is?
Two letters here. To Mark Damon. This address. Who's he?
I don't know. I've never heard the name before.
I wonder. Yeah. Maybe it could stack up at that. It just maybe could.
What could, Mr. Parker?
You say your fiancé left London last Thursday and headed for Paris. You also say he phoned you on the Thursday night and the Friday night. The call came through the Paris telephone exchange, Miss Wentworth.
Well, of course they did. What are you getting at?
Well, just this, ma'am. I checked with the people at Customs and Immigration. They double-checked with the passport office. And you know what? Last Thursday, they had nobody named Charles Denton leaving the country.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. You are listening to The Colgate Show, Address Unknown. And here again is Henry Simon.
Parker kept a close watch on Lillian Wentworth's face as he said the words. He half hoped for a telltale flicker of something to show in her eyes, something that could very well give him a lead to our missing person. But there was nothing. A puzzled frown creased her forehead, and she stared hard at Parker. She seemed more annoyed than evasive.
He didn't leave the country?
Not according to the records, no, ma'am.
Well, there's some mistake.
That figures.
But I didn't understand it. I spoke to Charles on both Thursday and Friday, and there were calls from Paris. Well, what's this all about?
Maybe this gives us part of the answer. The letters here, addressed to Mark Damon. Not care of Charles Denton or anything like that. Just the name and the address. This address.
You think Charles was using a different name?
Could be. Once your way of checking, though, we call the passport office and find out whether or not a guy using this name hightailed across to Paris last Thursday. And if that's so, ma'am, I ain't gonna buy no story about coincidence. That's it, Chief. The records show that Charles Denton left and returned to this country 3 or 4 times in the last 5 years. But Lillian Wentworth tells me he's been and gone at least 10 times during the same time.
And the man who calls himself Mark Damon?
Yeah, funny, ain't it? He's been away 6 or 7 times. Add the 2 and you come up with the right answer.
Sir Charles Denton occasionally uses a fake name and a fake passport, I might add, for his trips abroad. Which adds up to something a trifle on the odd side, I'd say.
It stinks.
Quite so. Any theories, Parker?
Nothing that comes up with anything solid. Just a whole mess of theories and ideas that could fit the facts, but they don't happen to have any proof lying around to back them up.
And Lillian Wentworth? Has she any ideas?
None. Far as she's concerned, her boy Charles is pure as the driven snow. And this double passport jazz don't make any kind of sense to her.
You sound as though you believed her.
Yep, sure do. I threw a high curve, and when I hit her with the dope about Denton not leaving the country, I hoped maybe she'd react, and I was watching her like 3 hawks. But no soap, Chief. It didn't mean a thing to her. And you know the way I am with phonies? I smell them from miles away. Not so with Lillian. She's on the level, but somebody else might not be.
Who?
Malcolm Bennett.
Denton's agent? What makes you think so?
I don't know. Nothing he said, nothing he didn't say, but I didn't like the way he said it. Too glib, too smooth, too much like he was trying to lead me away from where I was heading.
Anything in particular?
Just one. In one breath, he told me Denton was a reliable cat, real dependable. And the next, the fact that Denton didn't show up for the appointment meant nothing at all. Just the way writers behave and forget about it.
Interesting. What now, Parker?
Paris. I checked with our client and she okayed it. That's where Denton was, so that's where we pick up the trail, okay?
His flat. How'd you get in?
Easy. Lillian Wentworth had a key for that one, too. This one. Any more questions?
On your way, Parker. On your way. Parker flew to France early the following morning. A cab from Orly Airport took him to Paris and dropped him in the sector of Montmartre where Charles Denton maintained a second flat. It was a third-floor walk-up, and from the exterior seemed to be nothing prepossessing. Then Parker unlocked the front door and received a 2-part surprise. The interior of the flat was furnished in a style matching that of the London residence, luxurious, tasteful, and expensive. It would have been impressive were it not for the second part of the surprise. It looked as though the place had been hit by a cyclone.
Whew. Holy cow, will you look at that?
Somebody's turned this place over but good. And whatever they were looking for, they sure didn't find. If they did, at least some of the place would still be tidy. But they went through it from top to bottom. Pillows ripped open, drawers pulled out, every scrap of paper in sight given a close inspection. Yeah, whoever was responsible for this little search sure knew what he was doing. But what were they looking for? That's the jackpot question. Doesn't seem to be anybody here. Let's check the bedroom. No, same sort of scene in here. Mattress ripped apart, wardrobe contents thrown all over the place, more drawers dumped on the floor. And no sign of Denton, which is maybe the most encouraging thing about it. If there was any sign of him, he'd probably be his dead body. Heck, now, what do we do now? No other leads to follow here in Paris. No way of telling where Denton may have headed. Looks like you had a free airplane ride, Parker, and got nothing for it. But where do you go for honey now?
You! Do not move. Stay where you are.
Well, come on in, buddy. The ward is fine.
Keep your mouth shut. Speak only when I demand an answer.
Funny thing, pal. You're real persuasive, or could it be that gun in your hand that makes you so appealing?
It would be to your advantage to do as I say, my friend. And I want you to speak. Speak, but not in any other circumstances. Understood?
Yeah.
Now, who are you? What are you doing in this apartment?
Looking for the owner. My name's Parker.
For whom do you work?
Missing Persons Bureau.
What? Are you attempting to mock me? I would advise against such foolishness.
You asked who I work for, I told you, no gag.
I do not believe you. For what reason are you in Denton's flat? You did not break in, therefore you had the key. From where did you obtain it?
Well, how do you know I didn't break in?
This apartment has been under observation for several days now. We expected one of Denton's associates to arrive, and we were not wrong, were we?
Very wrong, pal. I have never seen Denton before in my life.
Yeah. You think we are fools? Turn around.
What for?
Turn around.
Okay, buddy. That's the way you want it.
A blow crunched down sickeningly on the back of Parker's neck, and the room exploded in his eyes like Guy Fawkes gone mad. He had no idea how long he was unconscious, but as he slowly and painfully began to grope towards the surface again, he was aware of the faint, lingering aroma of ether. Obviously, he'd been kept unconscious by an anesthetic for some time. The pounding in his head diminished slowly, and gradually his eyes began to focus. He found himself lying on a camp stretcher in a barren-looking room. A man stood casually against the single barred window, watching him. Parker lifted his head and saw the man who had knocked him unconscious sitting on a chair, the gun still in his hand.
Oh, brother.
Welcome back to the land of the living, old man.
Who are you?
The name's Denton. Charles Denton. I gather you were looking for me.
You have to knock me out to get me here?
I'm sorry, old man. I wasn't responsible for that. Chum Rene here was. He has a passion for violence. It caters to the animal in his nature.
Shut up.
Oh, did I offend you? I didn't mention what kind of animal.
You keep that filthy mouth of yours shut, or I'll...
You know what, old man? Kill me. Your bosses wouldn't like that. Not until they get their grubby little paws on the money. Yes? Watch yourself, Rene.
When we have made you talk, then I have you, Denton. This I will enjoy.
Look, will somebody please tell me what the heck is going on here?
A pleasure, old man. For some time now, I've been employed as a kind of unofficial courier, bringing money and sundry other little oddments to Paris from London. All of it has gone to the organization that employs friend René here. Oh, allow me to introduce, by the way. The full name's René Ducas, but the surname's doubtful. René's the sort of chap who didn't have a father.
You shut your mouth.
The organization does rather nasty things, like supplying arms and explosives to the Algerian terrorists, plastic bombs for maiming the women and children. You know the kind of thing.
And you've been helping them?
Up to a point.
For money?
Actually, no. For information. The people I'm connected with here were rather keen on finding out who the London contact is, so they had me infiltrate this organization. It all went rather smoothly, until now.
What stopped it?
I didn't deliver the last package. You know what it contained, old man? Enough uncut heroin to bring in a large-sized fortune.
Why didn't you deliver it?
To ruffle things up a bit. Set the cat among the pigeons sort of thing. If things look really bad, perhaps they'll send over their London contact to get things right again.
You know who he is?
We have an idea. It's a question of getting proof, you see.
Yeah. I'm beginning to.
Ah. Sounds like we are getting company.
You stay there, Denton. Move once and I shoot off your kneecap. You will be alive, but in great pain.
Oh, charming. You'd love that, wouldn't you? Little piece of garbage.
Shut your face. I will not warn you again.
You're not warning about what, René?
Oh, bless my soul. If it isn't Uncle Puss in Boots himself. Hello, Malcolm, old soul. Welcome to the party.
You've been rather silly, haven't you, old man?
Depends on your point of view, Malcolm. I don't think so.
I will. Where's the parcel?
Oh, I am sorry. Classified information, don't you know?
I will find it sooner or later. You will tell us eventually.
Hey, Dent, where does he come into all this?
My agent? He's the boy my superior suspected, so they had to plant me on him. I don't know who wrote all these words about Comrade Greg Carson, but it certainly wasn't me. It was enough, though, to look authentic. And now everything's worked out just beautifully. Use your head, Bennett. Pack it in now.
You seem to forget who's in control here. René has the gun.
Of course. But who does he point it at? Me. That leaves Parker uncovered.
What are you talking about?
Ah. Now you don't know where to point it, do you, Charlie?
You stay where you are.
You've got to leave one of us out in the open, haven't you? But which one?
Denton.
That's the...
Get him!
No, yes! Help! You're not going anywhere, old man.
Nice. Nice going, pal.
Thank you.
That was one sweet right cross.
Yes, I'm sure Bennett's appreciated it. We couldn't have him walking out on us, could we?
No. Wouldn't have been at all polite.
Thanks for the help, old man. Whoever said Anglo-American relationships were deteriorating?
Henry Simon returns to conclude this story in just a moment. You are listening to The Colgate Show, address unknown. And here again is Henry Simon.
Luke Parker had found himself in the thick of a deadly game involving gunrunners, drug addicts, and terrorists. But his quick thinking in diving for the man with the gun had saved what could have been a highly unfortunate situation. And the organization that employed Charles Denton? I'm afraid we cannot divulge information of that nature. The Official Secrets Act, you know. And now, as always, this is Henry Simon inviting you to meet me here again, and for the present, bidding you au revoir.
The Colgate Show, address unknown, is brought to you every Saturday by the makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Colgate Toothbrushes, Colgate Shampoo, Colgate Hairspray, and Colgate Talc. Listen again next Saturday evening at 7:30 when Henry Simon will introduce another story in the gripping and unusual series, The Colgate Show, address unknown. Listen on Monday morning at 8:45 to our next episode of The Reverend Matthew, a story of people, love, scandals, jealousies, ambitions, laughter, tears, and human conflicts.